Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second.
Thank you, David, and thank you, Kevin. And we need to approve the meeting summary or the minutes if you happen to have listened on the computer of the previous meeting. May I have a motion to approve the...
Okay, I'll move to approve.
Thank you. Ryan? Your name. Oh, Jan. Okay, I wouldn't have been able to see it anyway.
Right, you can see it less now.
Yeah. So we're all in favor of us of approving the minutes? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Old business. We don't have any.
Don't have any.
I don't think I've poked holes in mine yet. Alrighty. New business. David, I just put your name down without even asking you if you would do it. Will you tell us about what they're doing in
Sure. In the city. And the city's Environmental Sustainability Board, ESB. We've met with, just as this group has, with Mrs. Stiles. And we're going to coordinate with the tree board. Mac Brackett is the chairman of that, and take it to the city council for their endorsement of becoming a supporter of Bee City USA. And that probably won't happen until May, but at the moment where we stand, as opposed to two groups, the Tree Board and the Environmental Sustainability Board, working on the bee issue separately, we're sort of joined forces, so we work together. And there's a particular reason why it's a good idea, because Tom Wooten, who's a city operations manager, is a beekeeper himself and is pretty supportive of this idea and will help a lot in finding spots in parks and, you know, way out places where there's no risk to the public. So having Tom Wooten is quite a plus. And let's see. And John Connett, the city manager, has been to the meetings on the bees and essentially endorses the idea, and we always make sure he endorses anything before we take it to city council, obviously. So he's in favor. So we have two principal figures in the city administration, John Connett, the city manager, and the city operations manager, both supporting the idea. And that's essentially where we stand really on it. So I'm pretty sure it will go to city council in the near future. My personal opinion is it will get endorsed, but that's not worth anything, my personal opinion. And we're strongly supportive as a group in the Environmental Sustainability Board and the tree group, so it's probably a pretty much 100% endorsement of hooking up to support Bee City USA. The last thing I've heard from Bee City USA is they're talking to a city in, it might be Kentucky, and also to two major West Coast cities, Seattle. Obviously, Washington State would be a good one because of his apple growing up there, and also to the city of San Francisco. So those would be much larger cities than have signed up so far to support Bee City USA, which is more typical of this type, or in Asheville, but nothing larger than that. So it'd be a real plus if they get those two cities signed up, if they, you know, can. I don't know. I believe there's an article in a women's magazine at the current time on Bee City, I'm told. I haven't seen it, but I think it's pretty supportive. But the issue is still, you know, a big issue, because the cold winter impacted bees finding their way home. Oh. Quite a lot died. So it's just as apropos today to support the revival of the bee population that ever has been. In fact, it's probably more important at the current time. So we're working on that. I have a person who would like their garden to be used as a, you know, to support a bee sanctuary, so to speak, whatever it's, beehive, up in Sweetwater Hills. They have a fair amount of space. And but I noticed the lady who was here last time, can't remember her name, but do you remember who it was? They both sat here at the previous meetings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
Sheila
said,
Penland.
Hmm?
Sheila Penland?
No. Oliver, something like that. Oliver?
Sheila Olmert.
Sheila, that's it, yeah. Pity she isn't here because I was going to give her, you know, this address.
Oh. Have
and,
you got
you know,
the,
she's been very keen on trying to get people and you know, going from there.
Have you got the contact sheet?
I don't really have a contact, but I wrote it out on a piece of paper here for her.
Her telephone number.
I tried that. It is like it's been disconnected or wasn't any longer working. And
I hope she's well.
So I don't know.
Did you try the email? Did you try the email?
I don't know her email, no. If you want to give it to me, I'll try it.
Well, she has Olvera, O-L-V-E-R-A.
O-L-V-E-R-A. Okay.
2@bellsouth.net.
bellsouth.net, okay. So it's Olvera 2@bellsouth.net.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay.
I saw her a couple of weeks ago, and she was fine.
She was fine. Okay.
Well, she probably changed address. Or
maybe
changed,
we have a typo on the...
Yeah, I don't know. We'll pass. I missed out. Yeah.
I dialed twice because I have been known to miss dial.
So I would say the be out to look for supporting B-City USA's, you know, signing up people, becoming national is looking positive. I hope the city, the Environmental Sustainability Board, and the Tree Board, you know, will both try and support.
Do you have you had your hands on the guidelines, the activities that they would expect us to?
Well, you have to put on an education meeting. It's essentially the big thing every year. Mm-hmm. One advantage of it doesn't really tie up any money.
Yeah.
Which the city
and thus
likes.
It will appeal to our city to our.
Well, the city is in slight deficit this year because of infrastructure spending, so they'll probably be more than happy. But I have the NIPLAC application, and I have the resolution. And also there's another person who joined our group who's pretty knowledgeable in this area as well. So things tend to look positive, but until it's actually done, it isn't done.
And you would like us to write or encourage the county commissioners to write a letter of support?
Well, I would suggest at the current time, without having deeply thought about it, but, you know, let us to the city side sort of take the lead at the moment, then I'll get together with you when we're going to take it to the city council and ask if you would like to join in and be a twosome, a threesome, whatever I should say it will be.
Okay, let me see how to word this. If I made a motion to... because we have a quorum and can vote,
mm-hmm.
make it easy.
Sure.
To when the time comes, which may be in May,
right.
That we would write a letter to the county commissioners indicating our support of Henderson City's
right.
and his Hendersonville's support for becoming
be
a B-City.
B-City USA
mm-hmm.
supporter.
And we think it's a worthy thing and
yeah.
we'd
mm-hmm.
like to... have it in our community and get it to them, maybe present it at the same time that you guys go in to present your petition.
And I'll check in with Phyllis Stiles ahead of that to make sure nothing's changed in the way of, you know, the application, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So we'll have it
so
hopefully all in place by May.
May I have a second to the motion that we write a letter of support to Hendersonville? Or supporting Hendersonville's becoming a B-City.
USA.
Thank you. How many people are in favor of writing such a letter? Yay. Okay. We'll work on it
right.
when it's closer
to
And
I'll to let
the,
you know, okay. some future point.
May I have your mandate to write the letter that my wording would be acceptable? It's going to be three sentences.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Goody.
You can always draft it. It
to you, send it to him.
And then yeah. they can send suggestions, and I can edit, send it back.
Yeah, they don't like it, come up with a better one.
And I challenge when it's ready to be submitted to the commissioners, I can figure out how to get that to the right person and get it to them. So.
And if, excuse me for a second, but if I'm correct, Rachel, you were there at the last, well, one of the B-City meetings, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I remember now, yeah.
That was 2 meetings ago.
2 meetings ago, right. Yeah, the last meeting we did discuss it in more depth.
But all those B-City recommended plants that a lady at church has, off the record, has said she's willing to incorporate in our new plantings in the garden at church, and she wanted that list. So.
Well, actually, I believe the church on the corner of Brevard Highway, whatever that street is called, they have room in their church to support a beehive area at the back somewhere. So that would be good. Just trying to think of the name of the church.
One of the children in the school that uses our church during the week as a homeschooling, you know, jumping off place, is a beekeeper. It would scare me to death. I'm afraid of bees.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be around them.
But I'll plant the plants and try not to get stung. Okay.
Is this another person?
Oh,
we're so glad to see you.
Sorry, time got away from me.
No, welcome to the club. I walked in.
Does it count if it was a school paper?
Yes, it counts.
I brought guests today.
Hi, guest.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. It's nice to meet you.
Did I miss anything?
Just the bee part.
Just the bee part.
The bee part?
The bee part. We're going to write a letter supporting the concept of Hendersonville being a bee city.
And you asked for anyone who was interested in having a beehive in their backyard type thing, and these people are large enough to have that.
They
have a large yard.
Did they
and
charge,
there's a name. No, it's free.
Really?
Yeah. She said she was interested, so
yeah,
when you get round to it, there's a candidate.
Yeah. You'll be right this down.
No, I wrote it down for you.
Okay. Trying to get to my first page of this. Well, I have spent new topic. The past couple of weeks making telephone calls and making a pest of myself. And, you know, I got the bee in my bonnet about the perpetual motion machine where you burn your garbage and it makes energy and it makes the energy to burn the garbage and goes around in circles. I've now got a new bee in my bonnet, which is biodiesel. And unfortunately, B20, which means biodiesel 20%. They put 80% petroleum and 20% biodiesel. Sells at 5 to 10 cents more per gallon than petroleum without government subsidies. So, in other words, if a business is making it on its own, the way Blue Ridge up in Asheville is, without government subsidies, they charge. You know, depending on the prices, go up and down. Diesel. To regular diesel, petroleum diesel, to compare to that is about $3.18 a gallon. So sometimes it's below, sometimes it's above. But they are making a go of their business. They started out as a co-op, which I thought was a wonderful idea, just 45 people selling diesel to themselves. But are now, I think, a G-Corp. Are you familiar with what a G-Corp is?
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, like an S corp, but it has it's supposed to have some kind of green element to it. But it's set up as a company that is not intended to make a profit. It's just intended to do a function. I first heard of them being set up like in India, where people, they were trying to bring prosperity to, you know, places out in the country where nobody had enough to eat, and they were subsistence living. And they'd start up a company making a pump, and the pump would be used to pump water up so that you could water more fields, so that you could grow more crops, so that you could send your kids to school. And that was their goal. But they also set up a manufacturing plant, and the people were learning how to, you know, have marketable skills. And it just has all sorts of good benefits. And instead of a government doing something, it's a private company doing something that they choose to have all these other benefits. And evidently, these G corporations are now a function on the business scope now. So they're doing it, and without tax credits, without, you know, special things. And they will give us a biodiesel pump down here if we can get a pump. We need a gas station somewhere that has a free pump, and that's all that it would take. You don't have to build a special, you know, station or anything. So it just depends on price and interest and if we have enough people that want biodiesel down here, which I think it would be interesting to find out. So I mentioned that they're not dependent on whimsical government subsidies and tax credits. A lot of small biodiesel companies went in and out of business because they had such small profit margins that they were dependent on the government subsidies to make it. So Blue Ridge has proved that you can make it without the government subsidies. Also, another interesting little thing, while I was paddling around on the EPA site, they estimate that for every dollar in funding that the government did provide to clean fuels like diesel, which is cleaner than regular diesel fuel used to be, they generate $13 in health savings. People with asthma and who react poorly to particulate matter in the atmosphere who are on Medicaid, for example, you don't have that pull on the public funding. So
seems like that'd be hard to prove.
Lost work hours from parents and individuals with respiratory things. Like if you clean up the air and the rate of absenteeism goes down. Excuse me. Yeah, it can be documented. I almost trust them. I figured.
Oh, wow, that's real.
And the other thing they mentioned that was kind of interesting, if you're worried about carbon, is that if you're relying on biodiesel made from plants, which soybean oil made from McDonald's was made from a plant, the plant gives out oxygen while it's growing, and then, of course, when you burn it, it's giving out carbon, but so it's sort of biodiesel's better. The oxygen that the petroleum originally put into the atmosphere is so far in the past, it doesn't go into the equation, but this does. Also, if you're... I told you about they would put it here. And then I met a new friend. I was in the co-op, you know, leafing through Mother Earth News, saw an article about a North Carolina plant over in near Durham. And they had gotten a government grant to do some research on the use of enzymes to process. Let me just read what I've got. It's going to be more sensible. Biodiesel is now less scary to manufacture. Enzymes are being used as catalysts in commercial biodiesel production, and they may be able to process a wide range of feedstock grades, you know, all kinds of biomass. The use of these enzymes in the processing of fatty acids and acid esters can reduce waste alcohol streams, reduce energy input, increase production yield, and enhance the co-product quality of glycerol?
Yeah.
We've got a chemist in the crew. Also, no cost of cleaning up and containing the sulfuric acid and acidic methanol that they were using in the old production. But if you talk to people that use the old production methods, they say it's all very expensive and complicated, so make your own decision. I talked to Rachel Burton, who was a co-founder of the company out in Pittsburgh, and she worked under a research grant. The company's name is Piedmont, and she's all for enzymatic biodiesel. She thinks it's much less harsher method, and her grants ran out, and she works there part-time, but mostly she works for the new company that manufactures the enzymes, Novozymes. And she will answer any questions if I call her. She has a small child and couldn't come rushing out here, but if we want to call her, we can ask her any questions on this topic.
What concerns me about any type of biofuel is what it's doing to farmers.
All right, agricultural prices.
GMO, it's affecting our food. I just find this very concerning.
Yeah. Looking at the price of corn, for example, that went way up when they started mandating ethanol.
And now it's pretty much all GMO.
Yeah. But what I like about the biodiesel that is functioning today is they're using stuff that would be thrown away, like the fat that McDonald's uses to fry its hamburgers, mm-hmm. and they were paying to get it hauled away. So if if these manufacturers will come pick it up, it's a benefit to the producer of the waste, and it's turned into this biodiesel. And if they're not using sulfuric acid and all sorts of other horrible things, does anybody have any question about the enzyme process and stuff? Allergies. I'm sorry. I'm choking.
Just repeat who the company was. Piedmont who?
Piedmont. I lost them.
It would be biodiesel. Piedmont biodiesel.
Diesel, yeah.
Biofuel.
Environmental.
Do we have any place here in Hendersonville that does biodiesel now?
There's two places. There's the DOT facility, which just does our own trucks.
We're not associated with the DOT. The DOT is state, and it would have its own fuel.
Yeah, and they just fill their own trucks.
But it's not here locally.
No.
There's nothing here locally.
No. I have a list of... I went on and did a research thing on where the local ones are and called the nearest ones.
I think there's one in Asheville.
That's the Blue Ridge biodiesel.
Yeah. I think that's the one that Sierra Nevada uses, right? Because Sierra Nevada uses only biodiesel on the facilities.
Mm-hmm. And they're using it for heating oil now, too, which is interesting. The biodiesel Hendersonville is a Henderson County, North Carolina DOT facility, and they are just government only. The Blue Ridge Biofuels would be the closest one to us in Asheville, and they will put a pump in down here.
Are they affiliated with Piedmont? No.
The way the chain of command goes is the EPA generated, this is like the big ass in the Bible, the EPA generated a thing called Smart Way. They parented a thing called National Clean Diesel Campaign. And then the one you hear actually locally on the ground is the Southeast Diesel Collaborative. So these are not grassroots organizations. They're generated by the EPA. So when you hear those, you know who you're talking to.
And so if you wanted to get it up and running here,
we would
an empty pump?
Well, we need to find a gas station with an empty pump.
What would that mean for the gas station?
I imagine they would make the same profit that they would make on their...
Would they have to do any change over of equipment or any of that? They just need to volunteer? Would it be a tax deduction form?
Hello? No. This is without... Hi, this is Pam Danz, and I was just getting ready to call you.
Okay, I was just making sure I know that you had left a message about not being able to get me by email.
Yeah, the email address didn't work, and then I sent it again, and it bounced again, but Anyway,
that's
hello.
Right. Today, it works, so maybe there's something in the address that's just wrong. So, but yeah, I'm available now to answer any questions your group might have.
So, does anybody have any questions about biodiesel? Anybody?
And this is Rachel Burke?
Yeah.
Okay. And where is Rachel? Which town is her operation in?
Pittsburgh? Is it Pittsburgh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm located outside of Pittsburgh, and I was a founder at Piedmont Biofuels and have worked as until recently as a technical trainer for the National Biodiesel Board. So I led their diesel mechanic training program on biodiesel fuel properties and production.
I have a question for you, Rachel. How much has growth taken place in this industry? I mean, consumption of biodiesel fuel, how much has it grown over the past 10 years?
Did you hear the question? How much has biodiesel grown in the past 10 years, the consumption of biodiesel?
In the past in 9 years, since 2006, there has been a huge growth from talking to, you know, like 50 million gallons of production on an annual basis, upwards of over a billion gallons for the last couple of years. And that's primarily because we've had a federal renewable fuel standard that's in place that requires a certain percentage of the diesel fuel pool to be a renewable component.
And, Rachel, I see that nationally the production is something like about 1.3 billion, and the potential is for over 2 billion per EPA estimates. Is that something you see as likely? So, I mean, it can accommodate future growth with the existing production facilities.
Can you repeat that?
Is there enough capacity out there to keep on supporting this type of past growth, or would you have to add new production plant facilities?
I don't think that there's a necessary at the current kind of policy level. I would say there's enough capacity right now. I think it's just under 3 billion gallons of capacity, and so I think that, but there may, depending on what we call, you know, feedstock niches or unique scenarios, co-location capabilities, that, you know, there might be some new facilities that come online with new technology.
If we wanted to get a pump down here, evidently Blue Ridge Diesel, biodiesel is willing to put a pump down here if we can find a gas station that has a free pump, and not free, able
an
to
open
be
pump.
Open pump. but how would we go about finding out if there was any demand for biodiesel down here?
Have you been in contact with the Land of Sky?
Yeah.
I mean, we started very grassroots. You know, the original kind of the origins of the biofuel co-op here in Pittsburgh is, you know, I just held a class at the local community college. You know, I was teaching automotive technology, and I was interested in biofuels, and we held a night class about biofuels. And the first class, 6 people showed up, and those became the first 6 people in the co-op. And then the next semester, we held another class, and 25 people showed up. And it was just an organic growth from there.
Super.
So, there, you know, like if there's a place to have some kind of just a meetup or, you know, a weekend seminar or something like that, that might be a place to gather some interest.
Maybe even automobile sellers might be interested if they sell diesel vehicles might be interested in hosting an event.
Yeah, I mean, you could even link it with a car show or something like that.
Yeah, something new.
Well, for the consumers' question, would they have to do anything to their vehicles as far as changing them over to use the biodiesel?
The old biodiesel used to be kind of hard on real rubber gaskets, but most of the new vehicles are using synthetic gaskets anyway. Mm-hmm. Did you have something to add to that? I burst in there.
I think that's correct. I mean, you know, all of the newer vehicles since 96 are made with the appropriate polymer blends that are resistant to biodiesel. Mm-hmm. It's really the older vehicles that sometimes they have dry rotted fuel lines anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
that are more susceptible to...
Because we have a lot of farmers.
Yeah, farmers.
Farm equipment, like, would they have to change over their vehicles? Because they're not going to.
Probably older, you know.
Yeah. I mean, 15 years ago when we started, they didn't always have the appropriate fuel line for replacement available. Now if you go to any kind of auto parts store, most of the time they're going to have the appropriate fuel lines. You know, that someone could buy to replace their fuel line if they have a very old tractor or something like that.
Rachel, if I had a choice of going with compressed natural gas or biodiesel, what would help me make that decision?
Did you hear that?
Making a decision between compressed natural gas and biodiesel.
Right.
You know, I'm not an expert in CNG conversion for diesel engines. I know that there are some fleets that are looking at that. You know, it just depends on, you know, the cost of that technology and the cost of the infrastructure to change over. I mean, biodiesel is, you know, it's a fungible fuel, which means it just blends with regular diesel fuel, so you don't have to replace a tank and a pump, so there's usually less infrastructure conversion costs there.
And you don't have to retrofit your vehicle.
Yeah.
So it seems to be the easiest one to slide into, and if we were...
There's, you know, I guess it was two years ago I went up to New York City and trained over 500 diesel mechanics, because the entire city of New York was converting all of their diesel vehicles over to biodiesel. And so, you know, they went through their entire fueling infrastructure, which is, you know, a small feat, to make sure that they were ready to use biodiesel, and trained everybody up, and they've been using biodiesel for over 2 years now very successfully, even throughout the winter.
Before we get on the phone, a concern was expressed about the raw materials used in creating biodiesel competing with food products and raising, like, remember when ethanol raised the price of corn to the extent that human beings couldn't afford to eat it. What are your raw materials?
There's a wide variety of fats, oils, and greases that go into the production of biodiesel. Currently, you know, we have a lot of used animal fats and cooking oil and greases, like trap grease, that do go into the production. Those are kind of second-use oils. And then there is a majority of the biodiesel in this country that uses soy-based soybean oil. One of the misconceptions about, you know, food versus fuel is the reason we grow soybeans in this country is not for the oil. We grow it for the meal, and that meal typically gets fed to the animals.
That's the protein
and
part.
That's the protein part. So 80% of a soybean is protein, and then the 20% is usually oil. And biodiesel takes a very small portion of that oil and uses it for food, for fuel, and then really a majority of it still gets used in the food. You know, if you think about the whole bean, all the feed goes into fuel and food, and a lot of the oil goes into food, and only a small amount really goes into food. Fuel. Sorry. Too many F's there.
And I think preppers would like biodiesel because we could grow our own in the United States if we wanted to, instead of being dependent on countries that don't like us very much to provide fuel.
That's true. Sometimes truckers and transportation organizations can be very cost competitive, so it's just a matter of working with the fuel supplier to make sure that it's within a range or they can find the appropriate blend that meets their budget needs. There's been a lot of fleets that just have taken on a small percentage of biodiesel and been able to see some performance benefits and overall, petroleum dependency reduction, but maybe they're not like at 100% biodiesel.
Yeah. Well, I was interested to learn, I was reading about, B99 and B20, and I didn't know what it meant. And they, up at Blue Ridge, they told me it meant 20% biodiesel. B20 is 20% biodiesel and 60% petroleum.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
Tell her, perhaps you should support a local race car. They love race cars down here, so why don't we have a biodiesel race car?
Do diesels race well? He was suggesting supporting a biodiesel race car, that would get a lot of people in the South interested in biodiesel.
Yes, there have been some biodiesel race cars. So there's been a couple of, there was like a Formula One diesel car. It's possible.
And is consumption all over the nation, or is it mainly in certain regional areas of the country?
I'm actually looking at a plant map right here in my office. You have a good portion of them in the Midwest around soybean production, but then you have it all over the country. There's a fair amount, even here in North Carolina, on the Atlantic seaboard, down in Texas, in California, even in the northwestern part of the U.S. So I think it's pretty widespread, even in Canada, too.
Where would it be manufactured, or would it be imported in from somewhere?
Blue Ridge Biofuels manufactures it in Asheville.
And they would
gladly ship it down here. Do we have any more questions to Rachel, whom I really appreciate calling?
Sure.
Rachel, thank you so much. I appreciate your calling in. I literally have my phone in my hand to dial you.
I was ready to go. Thank you for your interest, and good luck.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Isn't modern technology wonderful? also, Land of Sky, I remember they came down over a year or so ago. I talked to the guy up there, and he said they were doing a cost comparison. They do it, quarterly, and they're just about to do their new one. But last year it was, $318 for regular diesel fuel and less, $250 for the biodiesel. So
that was last year. That was in 2014.
Yeah, but another source I spoke to said it was 5 to 10 cents more for the biodiesel. So go figures. That's all she wrote about that. And
interesting.
If anybody wants to get together and buy a diesel truck and do diesel, let me know. The other thing I had a question is, didn't we talk about doing a field trip on one of these? Is that what this is?
There's a biodiesel fact sheet, too, that I sent to you guys.
Yes.
That I got from Land of Sky, but it's through the Clean Cities Coalition, which are part of the Department of Energy. It's just a fact sheet.
It's part of the EPA.
There's a sign-in or a sign-up sheet right there for some dates to go visit probably our solid waste facilities, and we could go to our, you know, our CNG and fueling station that's just right up the road. That's just a very quick tour. The one up at the convenience center would probably take us about a half hour. It's easier to go to the convenience center than it is to the transfer station. It's a little more dangerous for people to be walking around that side because it's a lot of really big, heavy equipment and trucks. But we can definitely do the convenience center one. So those are the dates that work good for my schedule to meet you there. So I was thinking we don't have everyone, but we can start with this. You maybe want to pick your two best, most available times. I was kind of aiming for a morning and an afternoon, but I don't know. I know that doesn't work for everybody, but.
So this would be in lieu of our next meeting in June, or this is between the two?
Well, these are just dates in April that are going to be available. I have a bunch of solid waste programs that are going to be starting, and I'm going to be prepping a lot for the, it's hard for me to get out and do other events because there's a lot coming up. But that's mostly April, and I think the last day on there is May 1st.
Yeah, May 1st, yeah, 19th.
Yeah.
The extra curly grill.
This is an extra. So if you want to go on a field trip, sign up. I'm going to pass this around and pick
and
two
I'll,
and
yeah,
sign under it.
I'll coordinate via email once I know what works for folks.
I'm going to borrow your pen.
And if 10 isn't early enough, if you want to go at 9, you know, that's not a big deal most days.
But this is a voluntary field trip.
Yeah, I mean, we can do it however, if you, you know, rather
you said what, May?
What's that?
You said you were planning on this in May?
It's April. Mostly April and then one date in May. Yeah.
So we'll take a tour and maybe make recommendations or...
Just see. So this kind of came out of some discussions the committee had several meetings ago where just from our perspective, you know, at the staff level, I just want the committee, especially with kind of the nod towards matters of environmental quality, which is what this committee is charged with discussing, just making everyone on the committee aware of some of the environmental quality things the county has been doing since 2008. So just really showing some of the infrastructure that we already have, some of the programming that I work on for environmental programs, just so you know what's out there, so that when there's discussions at the committee level, you're aware that, you know, we've tried this or have, you know. Yeah, so that's kind of what it is, just to show you what we've been up to. Yeah. We just did start our new mercury products recycling program about 2 weeks ago, and that's the new brochure, so you're welcome to take one of those. I have extras if you'd like to take some to Blue Ridge, Community College. You're welcome to do that.
Those nasty little light bulbs? With
we want it on our board.
I have one of those at my house.
This is the official brochure.
Oh,
I
okay.
have one when I saw you guys.
Okay.
So we just started that program.
Thermostats and things like that.
Small amounts of thermostats. There's a very, very large list of items that we can accept now, Monday through Friday, not just during special hazardous waste events, but we have a new facility out at the convenience center. The center is open Monday through Saturday, but we can only take mercury stuff Monday through Friday. So unfortunately, if you bring it on Saturday, I'm not going to be able to take it from you. You're going to have to wait and come back. Just have there's a lot of safety issues with it, but...
But better you deal with it than we deal with it. Cause
yeah, and you know the quantities and a lot of the stuff that you have at home are very, very small, so you're really not in danger. You would have to bust up a whole lot of stuff and close yourself into a room with them.
And eat it.
Yeah. But it can, you know, the vapors from broken mercury products can affect your nervous or your respiratory systems, and it can affect water and wildlife.
My husband used to play with it. If they broke a thermometer or something, his brothers and he would play with it.
Yeah. And they turned out fine, didn't they?
Yeah, well, other than the...
I was delighted to see the asphalt shingles thing.
So we, in October, we started an asphalt shingles recycling program. It's been going pretty slowly, but I think it'll start to pick up in the spring, in the summer.
It's not roofing.
But the material from that is actually sent to a Rogers Group, which is local, and they turn it into paving material. So it is getting recycled back into road material, which is
cool. I'm going to take one of these. Everybody else pick them up as they go out, I guess.
Yeah, please do. I have extras if you'd like them. Okay. And there's going to be a few vacancies on the committee after our next meeting.
Who's going?
So,
other than Glenn that we know about.
Is it your turn?
When do I end?
Well, I have all that. Okay. I can email you and let you know.
You can't be up.
Yes, I can. I'm in my second year, and this is also my second year on vestry at church. I get out of that, too.
I got here before you, though.
Did you? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll look at it and get our clerk to the board to send out a list of how many vacancies we're going to have, but if you're aware of anyone that would like to join the committee, they can just submit an application at any point. I can get it to the clerk.
So you
take over for somebody's...
Thank you.
On the expired term?
Did he leave early?
That could be it. That's probably it.
So you could do what I did and just rejoin if you wanted
to. But do I have to be president? How would you like to be president?
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. Think about it.
Well, I guess I'm going to pick morning since everyone else has picked morning. Y'all won't tell no one I skip class, will you?
No.
No, don't skip class. We can make
it's
it work.
Spanish class.
Not her favorite class, I take it.
There's a private college up in Asheville. I can't remember the name of it. I toured it. They have a working farm on the college.
Oh.
And they're all
biodiesel. Are you going to sign up?
No, probably.
Do all
they sell their breastfed meat and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But all their farm equipment runs in biodiesel.
Oh, I can't think of the name of it.
Warren Wilson.
That's it. Yeah. Warren Wilson College.
Warren Wilson College.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Do you have any other questions for me?
I think we're done.
One thing I'd like to say, Madam Chairman. I've noticed, I read in the Consumer Report, I believe it was, something I didn't know about. General Motors has an engine they're going to start putting into Buicks sometime in 2015. It's compressed natural gas. And it can run either way.
Yeah.
And what they're saying, in case you can't find a compressed natural gas station, you can use gasoline until you find one. And the onboard computers will tell you when you gas up at one compressed natural gas station, it'll tell you where the next station is, like one in Columbia, where...
It's like a smart car.
Yeah, well, this is now. This is like 2015 models.
Wouldn't that make it, like, way more expensive to be set up with two systems, or...?
I don't know. Well, they didn't give a price on the thing. You do it out your onboard compass and you...
Yeah.
It's a natural extension of the flex fuel cars.
I saw one.
But this is big time. That's quite interesting.
I'm sorry.
Run on compressed natural gas and you use gasoline when you can't find one of those. That's gasoline is the alternate fuel.
Yeah. We had a Honda, dual fuel vehicle and... it kicked in automatically.
Is it electric?
Well, it did electric when it could.
Yeah, right.
And you've got little...
No,
little
this is too
this
gas.
Is
yeah,
gas.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Gas and gasoline.
Yeah.
And now you can get engines converted. I think there's a place over in Arden you can get them
There's a...
But they convert, I think, Ford products.
Altec.
They're easy to...
Yeah. That company is called Altec.
Yeah.
I thought they were maybe lacked the horsepower that Mustangs usually have. But I was over here one day and a Mustang had been converted to the compressed natural gas, and when he blew out of there,
he had no power.
He had power.
Good.
And then you compare it to gasoline, it's $1.46, $1.45 a gallon. Oh, yeah. You said it,
Yeah, well, sure. Looks good. If it still, you know, if it performs well, I mean, people love that.
Well, like you said, the race cars, you know, if you can run in a race car,
yeah,
people will be like,
I think I'd
that's,
seen
that's
one
that's
somewhere once.
A good
once.
Idea, because
yeah.
It shows that, you know, it's performance, you saw power, it's, you know, it's not like it.
The car show's on in New York this week, and the news shows in the morning were talking about the various different vehicles, and they were talking about one, and they called it fuel anxiety or something. They have a syndrome now for you. You're worried about running out of the alternative fuel. And I think it's Audi has come out with an electric gasoline combination that you can, you know, switch over in the middle, and it runs... You plug it in, and it runs on electric mostly, but it has this sort of auxiliary
backup.
Gasoline backup thing.
Yeah, the mayor of Dennisville drives a boat, and they have recharge stations over at Dogwood Park a lot, and I see it plugged in over there. It's a great deal.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing to have.
Oh, yeah?
The Sierra Nevada has charging
yeah.
stations.
They don't
yeah.
have them yet, but
they have the overhead.
Yep.
They're working on it, and they have four of them.
Yeah,
the little kind of on top of the picnic area.
Yes.
Whatever they
the parking lot. Yeah. They're going to be.
What do we have out
there? They're
going to
be
recharging stations.
It's for the golf cart.
Thank you, Matt.
Okay.
I'm coming.
Never on that.
Yeah. And are we going to continue or make some resolution, be continuing our thought process or what?
Right now?
Yeah.
I mean, about...
On biodiesel. I mean, it sounds a great idea, really. To know more about it. And
I
perhaps
just
I could ask of Rachel, has this county ever thought about biodiesel?
The county used to have several pieces of equipment at solid waste that ran on biodiesel, and they started with B20. This was probably 3 years ago in conjunction with Land of Sky. There's a lot of gelling issues because the fuel is much more pure than a diesel. And there were a lot of gelling issues, and one of the issues with biofuels is that when the temperatures change, the fuel can crystallize, and then it clogs up the filters. So then they drop down from B20 to a B5 blend, which is barely any biodiesel, it's only 5%. But then to limit the gelling and crystallizing issues, you have to add a lot of additives. So by the time you actually mix the additives in with the 5%, you really don't have that big of a blend of biodiesel. But the manufacturer of the equipment, Caterpillar, that we were using, wrote a letter and said, we will discontinue our warranties on your equipment if you don't switch back. And a lot of people have that issue. There's been a lot of equipment in the city of Asheville that they switched over to biodiesel, and they do have dedicated biodiesel equipment, but they have a lot of issues with temperature changing and crystallizing the fuel.
Now, on one of the sites I was reading, they called that a
myth. Yeah, that's
but
definitely
not
good.
No, it's not a myth at all.
Yeah.
It depends on the blend and how high it is, and it just depends on the temperatures. And if you swap it back and forth, I mean, obviously they have much lower temperatures in the Midwest where they use biofuels more often than we do here, but even in the summer it can get really gummy because it gets so hot.
They talked about it actually cleaned out your...
It does, but then over time, like you talked about earlier, it breaks down the plastic.
Yeah.
It can do that over time. So it means you have to change out the filters, at a different rate than you would normally. But I know that the Alternative Fuel Center at Blue Ridge Community College, they do a lot of work with biodiesel, so it may be worth, if you're interested, calling the Alternative Fuel Center there. The Alternative Fuel Center at Blue Ridge Community College is one of the only ones in the Southeast, so they're experts in biodiesel and how it works over there.
So it sounds like all you'd have to do is get a bunch of people together who could evidence that they wanted to use it, or maybe people are going up to Asheville that are using diesel engines now.
Well, yeah, you'd also have to have enough people who have had experience with it that could back it up and say that it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, because if you research it and you find out the stuff about the crystallizing, you're going to say,
is out of Asheville, but they've recently moved their production to Catawba County.
Yeah,
so
they're
not that much.
They were moving
but
this week. It was hard to get in touch with people.
Yeah, they're having to break down all their big tanks and equipment and move but I think they'll still be doing sales from Asheville, but production's going to a much bigger facility, Catawba.
Where's Catawba from here?
It's east of here, just not even two hours.
Probably. Oh, so they're going farther away from us.
And then there's quite a few folks, I can't remember what the guy's name is, but there's one just over the South Carolina line. I can't remember what he's called, but he's one of the only biodiesel, like, biodiesel man or something. I mean, it's very generic, but it is. And he's this big, burly farm guy, and he's quiet biodiesel. But there's not very many biodiesel manufacturers.
Somewhere in this pack of paper I generated, there was one in south of here, just a little bit south of the border.
That might be the same.
Yeah.
Bioman.
Bioman.
I can't
remember. That's what we're going to call him.
Bioman or something.
Well, it's a great way to get rid of some of the waste product, cooking, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So I don't know that you can use it as far as performance, isn't it? I mean, that has to be cleaned.
Well, that's what the plant is for.
Okay, so they're not producing. They're using.
They're reprocessing.
They're repurposing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
right,
some,
good.
Like the one in South Carolina, he'll do that. So he'll buy cooking oil or whatever, waste oils from restaurants, but then he'll also supplement his blends and supplement his volume with buying.
So that makes me feel better about the food use versus fuel issue,
yeah.
Is that this is something that we have to deal with anyway, and we're repurposing it.
What would you do with it, you know, if they weren't repurposing
it? It sounds a good issue to me, for the county, really, to have some involvement with.
To ask the county to do something, we'd have to find out what would need to be done. Like, how would you go about finding out if there was a desire to have
a test run.
Sort of falls under somewhat the recycling theme, and Rick Bird is obviously quite an expert on that side. Perhaps Eco should take a look at it.
Mountain True now.
Yeah.
Mountain True.
I mean, I'll find out if they've looked at it.
At the college. And
yeah, I think that's our obvious most.
Well, because if they work with it, then
they
could
tell
good
us.
Ones to,
Well, we have the DOT people here using it, and you know, they're happy with it. They've been doing it for how long?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not connected with them really, except for some old
trash.
We need
to find out that information.
Okay. No. Okay. Let me make a to-do list on the back of my "Why I'm a Climate Change Skeptic" by Patrick Moore, PhD, who is a leader in international environmentalism for more than 40 years. He co-founded Greenpeace, currently serves as chair of Allow Golden Rice. Moore received the 2014 Speaks the Truth Power Award, et cetera, et cetera. If you want to read that, I'm going to write my notes if I may borrow a pen in the back. Okay, to do. Call Blue Ridge.
I say you can come and make a presentation to us as a continuation of this first step. Or we go up there and chat to them.
The guy,
Chris,
I think.
Okay.
He was very nice, and he was very nice to me back at that time. He sent me his whole PowerPoint thing. Here it is. Bill. I lied. Bill.
Bill.
Yeah. Yep. Acre.
Acre, there are alternative advisors.
I know that name.
Yeah, if the state is using it, it has or helped whatever success or not. I'm really interested in finding out their.
Well, I guess another thing you should find out too is if you find a participant to be willing to promote it and have a pump, they have to know what they need to do as well.
They don't have to do anything. Pump the gas.
They have to go through corporate or somebody.
They have to know what?
They have to go through their corporate office or somebody.
Oh, to see if it's okay to have it, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet we could probably get that gas station down, one exit down from Flat Rock There's a family-run gas station, quick stop place. I bet places like that, where you didn't have to go through layers of corporate credit. And you should have seen me calling this guy in South Carolina, trying to find out who the source of their, you know, where they were buying their diesel fuel from. They didn't even know they had it. They were calling it off-road diesel. But this big finder, pump finder thing on the internet said that they had it.
There's a really good website through the Department of Energy, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's like Alternative Fuels Finder or something that. And
you put in your zip code, and they give you the...
You put in your zip code, and it'll show you propane, LNG, CNG, biodiesel, electric stations.
They'll help you plan your trip.
The smart thing would be to get in the middle of where all the dots are then. Find a place where there's no dots.
Yeah. So I'm supposed to ask DOT about crystallization and filter expense and how long they've been working there. Any other questions I'm supposed to ask? Anybody has? Okay, then our next meeting, I believe, is June 4th, 3 p.m., same time, same place. May I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Alan, thank you.
Second.
And Kimberly seconds. She beat you to it.
Thank
you, Pam.
You may not see me out at the recycling center because I've already toured it.
You know what?
I've already done, been there, done that.
So have I.
Yeah.
Little places.
And I'm getting into busy season, so.
It's been forever again.
Yeah.
I go there.
Anyway.